Tim, Rakucha, Chame, Rakucha, Rakucha, Tunam, Shriyoka,
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 Satyastu,
Satyastu,
Ne,
Ne,
Nu, Yavane Janatvam,
Yavane Janatvam,
Shrimitravindavacha,
Shrimitravindavacha,
Yomam Swayamvarokechavichichabhupan,
Yomam Swayamvarokechavichabhupan,
Nine Swayutagami Vatmabhavim Vipari, Rajinshame Prakruta Swapuram Shriyoka
Rajinshame Prakruta Swapuram Shriyoka
Tasyasyame Nubhavamangriyabhne Hajanatvam
Tasyasyame Nubhavamangriyabhne Hajanatvam
Shrimitravindavacha
Shrimitravindavacha
Yomam Swayamvara Upesya Vichitya Bhupan
Yomam Swayamvara Upesya Vichitya Bhupan
Ninje Swayuta Gamni Vatma Parim Vipari
Ninje Swayuta Gamni Vatma
Parim Vipari Rakshinshame Pakuruta Swapuram Shriyokas
chooses
a husband from a number of eligible suitors. Upecha, coming forward. Vijitya, after defeating. Bhupan, king. That would mean literally the rulers of earth, of Bhu, of earth. Ninye, that took. Swa, of dogs. Yuta, into a group. Gum, gone. Eva, as if. Atma, own. Bung, share. Ripa Arihi, a lion. Literally, enemy of elephants. Bratrin, brothers, cha, and may, my, apakurutaha, who were insulting him, cha, to his, puram, capital city, tree, of the goddess of fortune, okaha, the residence, tasya, his, astu, maybe, may, for me, anubhavam, life after life, angri, defeat, avane janatvam, the status of washing. Translation. Sri Mitravinda said, at my Swayamvara ceremony, he came forward, defeated all the kings present, including my brothers, who dared insult him, and took me away, just as a lion removes his prey from amidst a pack of dogs. Thus, Lord Krishna, the shelter of the goddess of fortune, brought me to this capital city. May I be allowed to serve him by washing his feet life after life. This is very nice. Just imagine we're being assaulted by so many enemies, right? Who want to take us away, lust, anger, greed, illusion. And we also want Krishna to take us away. Just like a lion captures its prey from a pack of dogs. So we're going to go on, there's no purport there. And this section, of course, is Draupadi asking the queens, how did you become Krishna's wives? Because you know, one of our most popular features in Bhakti Godhead is what we call the hicks, the how I came. So everybody likes to read the how I came, and people often ask, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? That's a very common question. So similarly, Jogi is asking this question. How did you marry Krishna? 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 So text 13 to 14. Sri Satya said, my father arranged for 7 extremely powerful and vigorous bulls with deadly sharp horns. Who here has seen an extremely vigorous and powerful bull with deadly sharp horns? How many people have seen that? So you've got to get out and about more. Yeah, if you go to India, you see these bulls. Nowadays in India, unfortunately, there's slaughter going on of the bulls. And we saw that in Govardhan, people rounding up the young bulls on the street and the oxen and the old cows and taking them to slaughter. But they won't touch the big bulls.
Joy.
Yeah, but they've got to make it that far. So once the bulls have become really big, nobody will mess with them. So, 7 extremely powerful and vigorous bulls with deadly sharp horns to test the prowess of the kings who desired my hand in marriage. Although these bulls destroyed the false pride of many heroes, Lord Krishna subdued them effortlessly. He likes to do that, doesn't he? He likes to do really heavy duty projects like lifting a hill and just go, there you go. Around the time they picked up this bow, nobody could pick up. Was it 1,500 people had to move it? I think it says in the Bhagavatam. And he just picked it up with his left hand. Lord Krishna subdued them effortlessly, tying them up in the same way that children playfully tie up a goat's kid. He does purchase them. You see a goat's kid? Little tiny baby goat? It's not very hard to tie them up. Okay? But a big bull. He thus purchased me with his valor. Then he took me away with my maidservants and a full army of 4 divisions, defeating all the kings who opposed him along the road. May I be granted the privilege of serving that Lord. And text 15 to 16. Sri Bhadra said, my dear Draupadi, of his own free will, my father invited his nephew Krishna, to whom I had already dedicated my heart, and offered me to him as his bride. My father presented me to the Lord with an Akshahini military guard and a retinue of my female companions. My ultimate perfection is this, to always be allowed to touch Lord Krishna's lotus feet as I wander from life to life bound by my karma. So I'm going to go over the Sanskrit of this one also. This is Sri Vajravacha. Pitame Modinayaya Swayam Ahuvadantavani Krishne Krishnaya Touch चित्तम अक्षोभिन्या सही जनाय अस्य मे पाद संस्पर्शो भवेत् जन्मनि जन्मनि कर्म वीर ब्रह्म्य अन्नाय येन तच्छ्रेय आत्मना. So she said, Krishne Krishnaya touch chitam. Krishne Krishnaya touch chitam. So Krishne, interesting. When we're talking to Krishna, the vocative and the Sanskrit, those of you who know a little Sanskrit. So in English, we change the part of speech of a word by where we place it in the sentence. You say, the boy threw the boy is the subject. If you say, the ball threw the boy, that means the ball is the subject. So you don't change the words, ball and boy, but you change the position. In Sanskrit, you can put the words in any order, which is why people who know Indian languages sometimes say English in strange orders. And because in the Sanskrit-derived languages, you change the part of speech, whether it's a subject or object of a preposition, by the ending. So normally when we're talking to, if we use Krishna as a subject, would be Krishna. So we're talking to him, we say what? We should all know this. Krishna. Krishna. But why is she saying Krishna? Because she's not talking to Krishna, she's talking to Krishna. She's talking to Krishna. Who's Krishna? Jogari. So she's saying Krishna, talking to Krishna. She says, Krishna, Krishnaya, touch chitam. Krishnaya, that means of Krishna. Again, in English, we put of Krishna. But in Sanskrit, you add the preposition, in English, preposition, becomes postposition. You add it to the end of the word. So it becomes Krishnaya, to Krishna, touch chitam. What does chitam mean? Mind, or heart. Right? Your consciousness. Like we say, sat chit ananda. Chit is consciousness, mind, awareness. Krishnaya touch chitam would mean what?
Krishna consciousness.
Krishna consciousness. Very nice. Yes. Krishnaya touch chitam means Krishna consciousness. Just see, but you're talking about this kind of okay. And then she says, Pada samsparsha. What does pada mean?
Feet.
Sparsha means?
Touch.
So she wants to touch Krishna's feet. Okay, so let's read the translation. Again, Sri Vajra said, my dear Draupadi, of his own free will, my father invited his nephew Krishna, which is Maitreya, to whom I had already dedicated my heart. To whom I had already dedicated my heart. What was the Sanskrit for that? To Krishna I dedicated my heart. The Sanskrit was? Krishnaya touch chitam. To whom I had already dedicated my heart and offered me to him as his bride. My father presented me to the Lord with an Akshamini military guard and a retinue of my female companion, Sakhi Janahai. My friends. My ultimate perfection is this, to always be allowed to touch Lord Krishna's lotus feet. How do we say touching Lord Krishna's lotus feet? Word for feet is? Pada, and touching it? Sparsha. Pada samsparsha. As I wander from life to life, she said, as I wander from life to life bound by my karma, she said, janmani, janmani. Do we also say this? Right, we say Janmai Janmai Prabhupada. Life and life. Janmani Janmani, she says. And then she says, karma here, Brahmyamanaya. Brahmyaman is wandering. Wandering. As I wander according to my karma, she says. As I wander according to my karma in Janmani Janmani, what do I want to do? I want to always be able to? Touch, to para sparsha, I always want to be able to touch Krishna's feet. Why? Because Krishna's chitam, because I have given my heart to Krishna. Purport? With the word atmanama, Queen Bhadra speaks not only for herself, but she says, this is my desire. She says, Shreya atmanama. You know what Shreya is? We talk about Shreyas and Shreyas. ultimate benefit. And the way you can remember the difference, we are remembering the difference, is that prayer starts with a P like play. Prabhupada's often talking about how little children are interested in prayer. They just want to play. So prayer and Shreya. So she says, Shreya Atmanaha, this will be the ultimate good for myself. So with the word Atmanaha, Queen Bhakti speaks not only for herself, because you might think, well, she's just saying, this is mine, Shreya Atmanaha, but for all living entities as well. The soul's perfection, Shreya Atmanaha, is devotional service to Lord Krishna, both in this world and beyond, in liberation. The Acharya is commenting on this verse, speak quite a bit about how this is referring also to the ultimate liberation. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that although, now he's going to comment on this world, on this word Krishnaya, which means again what? To Krishna. That although civilized society is normally considered disrespectful to publicly speak the name of one's guru or husband. So in modern society, of course, people don't even say husband anymore. Now they just say partner. There's a reason why that terminology has entered our behaviors. Yes. Because it justifies many other kinds of things besides husband and wife. You know, in the visa form for New Zealand, it says, are you in a genuine and committed partnership? Instead of, are you in a legal marriage? A genuine and committed partnership. Yes, we're genuinely committed to each other for the next week. So, in modern society, we don't even call them husband, what to speak of name, and people, of course, are referring to their husband as, oh, here's Sam, you know, hey, Sam. And even the children are referring sometimes to their parents like that. You know, here's Sam and Julie, my parents. So, Jiva Goswami points out, in civilized society, why doesn't one speak the name of one's husband or guru?
Might be considered to be too familiar.
Yeah, very familiar. It's explained in the story of Devahuti and Karnamuni that the marital relationship is one naturally of great intimacy. Of course, if you're married, you're intimate by definition, we hope. We hope married people are not strangers to each other. But he said it should be a relationship of great respect, not the kind of familiarity that breeds contempt. Okay? So the woman would address her husband how? As what? Prabhu, which means master. Of course, Prabhupada says we should see all living entities as our Prabhu, even the little worms. But what to speak of someone who's in that position as your authority? So you call them Prabhu. What else? They call their husband. They call their husband Mataji. They call their husband mother. Actually, if a man calls his wife Mataji, it's very sinful. Because you don't marry a mother. Probably really criticized one man calling his wife Mataji. Also, a little political plug, women don't call women Mataji. Unless, maybe in modern days, if women have wives, then they can call women Mataji. You're supposed to call other men's wife, or someone who's not your wife, mother. So that's it for people who can have wives. But no, don't call your wife mother. That's very simple. You don't marry your mother, Hare Krishna. So what does the woman call her husband? She call her husband Prabhu or what else?
Swami.
What else? What other kind of things?
Pati.
Not. You know what Prabhu says the man should call his wife?
Devi.
Yeah. That's not the only, obviously it's not the only. You know, some men who call their wives Priya or something. Some perfection. Guru, usually the guru is given some title. Usually you call the guru by some title. My guru Maharaj, we call Srila Prabhupada. We don't just say Abhacharani, Vaicharanam. We say the title. Right? And in school also, generally you call the teacher Mrs. Smith or Mr. Smith. You don't just call them Sam or Mary. These things are degrading now, though. They are becoming degraded, people not knowing how to speak to each other respectfully. So, why then is Bhadra, is Bhadra civilized? Certainly, she's very civilized. So why is she saying Krishnaya? This is the question, why is she saying Krishnaya? Was this point also brought up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Right? Why are you saying the name of Krishna? You're Krishna's servant, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, and everyone else is Rijya. Everyone else is a servant. So why are you calling your master by his name? Why are you saying Krishna? So why is Vajra saying Krishna? So we're going to get the answer. Lord Krishna's name is unique. The mere utterance of the name Krishna is commendable as the highest expression of reverence for God. So Jiva Goswami is saying that the word Krishna, that's already very reverential. Because you might say, the other acharyas, Krishna, Chakravarti, Thakur, like that, they also mention, why we usually use some honorific title at least, like Sri Krishna, Lord Krishna, right? Not just Krishna. But Jiva Goswami is telling us the name Krishna itself is the highest reverence. And he quotes the Svetasvara Upanishad 4.19 saying, Yasya nama mahat yashaha. Yashaha means, like Yashoda means, fame. Fame. The holy name of the Lord is supremely glorious. So you don't have to add any honorific. It's already full of reverence. Already full of reverence. All right. So, Bhadra is saying here, Shreya Atmanaha. This is the highest success. This is the ultimate success. So, Krishna is so kind. He provided me a really nice example of the misunderstanding of success when I was on the plane coming here. So you know how a lot of these planes, they have these screens that come down in front of everybody? Right? And I thank God I couldn't hear the sound. But on the screen it says, when you're a teenager, success is sex. When you're in your 20s, success is taking a break from life. When you're in your 30s, success is having a family and a job. When you're in your 40s, success is money. When you're in your 50s, success is more money. I was waiting, you know, when you're in your 50s, like, okay, what's my success? More money. I guess I'm a failure. Okay. In your 60s, it's taking a break. And in your 70s, they said again, it's sex. So this is the material, that's what it says. I don't take any responsibility for that. So that, but this is what the materialists are putting forward is success. That's their idea of success. You know, you have a nice job, you have money, you have some romantic relationship, that's success. That's your Shreya. Oh, and the person next to me was looking through the airline magazine. And I saw there was this advertisement for this luxury apartment, and it said, yours forever. Right, okay, forever. So this is what we think of as success. Just, was it yesterday? Day before yesterday, in Brisbane, there were some young students, Indian students, they'd just come from India to Australia to make their way in the world. They come to go to the university, and they come, they want to know if they can touch my feet, Hare Krishna. And they said, we want your blessings. I said, what do you want? We want success, they said. I said, well, what do you understand is success? Said, well, we want to get the maximum grades in our studies. And we want to make a lot of money. Right? So this is what people think is a success. If someone asks you, those of you who have children, those of you who have grown children, maybe some of you here have some grown children, and people will say, is your child a success? Right? It's one of the reasons that our parents objected to our joining the Hare Krishna movement, because what were they going to say to their neighbors? You know, my mother had a really, really hard time with this. That my daughter is selling Hindu books in the subways. And she lives in a closet. You know, so really? So what's your daughter doing? You know, she just didn't know what to say. You know, when my mother became favorable, when we owned our own house, and my husband had a job for General Motors, and I was running a preschool. And she became favorable, and we owned a car. And then all of a sudden her mood changed because she could say, my daughter's a success. So what is the success in the world? Does it fully satisfy us? So who here has been fully satisfied for 1 year? No anxieties, no difficulty, no suffering. No? That's kind of sad, huh? You've been satisfied for 1 year materially?
Yes.
You have been? No anxieties at all for one whole year?
Yeah, I lived on one of the highest clouds to see what's in the room.
Oh, that doesn't count. So you're a guru coolie?
Yes.
Jai. All obeisances to you.
Nice.
Prabhupada says that the, I was just hearing in class, Prabhupada says that the great souls, they're taking birth in this movement. So, very nice to have you with us. Thank you for gracing this earth planet and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Thank you very much. It's true. It's actually true. Don't tell him that. Alright, so yes, actually the fact Prabhupada says if you have full Krishna consciousness, then materially also you'll be happy. So you're the only person who's ever answered yes to that question. Right, most of us, we hardly have 24 hours materially of unlimited happiness. What is our success? And you get your success. Some of us here in this room have had some material success, I'm sure. Some of us have had very nice marriage, or we have some high degrees, or we've made some money. And at the end you say, is this it? Is this it? And my parents were very materially successful. But what do you have? You know, at the end, what do you have? I saw my mother in her last days. So my mother had been, in all respects, very successful. She had been, when she was a teenager, she was a beauty queen, traveled all over the world. She was her parents were very, very wealthy. She and my father were also very, very wealthy, multi-millionaires. They were very, very famous, at least in America. They're very well known. She got to do a lot of traveling. She was also a very pious lady. She gave a tremendous amount of money and energy to charity. Very righteous person, very, very intelligent, and unbelievably intelligent. Even to her last moment, she had a super sharp mind. And she had many, many friends. But what did she have at the end? Where was all of that? It was a little plaque on the wall. Thank you for your donation. You know, she couldn't even turn over in bed. She couldn't even speak. She couldn't even go to the toilet. She couldn't even drink water. But what did she have? It all became like sand running through your fingers. And some people in that home, I would ask them, what did you do in your life? And they'd say, what did I do? I don't remember. It's very scary. I asked this one woman, are you married? Yeah. My husband died. Did he die? it was heart-wrenching. I said, did you have any children? Yes, I had three, two. I don't remember. And what do we speak of our next life? Right? Maybe some of us here remember our previous lives, but how many of us even remember? All of our successes. Maybe you were a big scientist, maybe you were Indra or Chandra, right? Maybe you were also Gurukul, right? No, there's another one. He's not here. You, there you are, you're hiding. So maybe you were some big yogi. But we don't remember. And if someone could tell us, yes, you were a big yogi, yes, you were a Suryadeva, you say, oh, that's interesting. Where is the benefit? So what is the use of this material success? It's not fully satisfying. It doesn't say, Jukali and Mishashvatama. It's mixed up with so much misery. So here, Bhagavad is telling us what is the real success. It's giving us two things that are the real success. What are the two things that she gave us? Who remembers? Two things she said. Right, being Krishna conscious, Krishnaya Tachchitam, and? Touching Krishna's feet, Padasparsha, yes. So Krishnaya Tachchitam, always thinking of Krishna. Of course, this is Krishna's instructions. How many times does Krishna say this? In the Bhagavad Gita? All the time, over and over, but at least twice he says, Manmana Bhagavad Bhakto, Manmana. You have me in your mind. And over again, right? He's saying, also in 7.1, you put your mind in me. Mama Nusmaram Yujitcha, you think of me while you fight, while you're engaging in your occupation, you always think of me. This is the core, isn't it? This is the essence that Rupa Goswami gives us. Always remember Krishna. Always have Krishna in your mind. This is what our society is for. This is why we're worshipping Sri Sri Gaurichai, Radha Vallabha, Radha Govinda. And you're worshipping Krishna in so many manifestations here. You're so fortunate, practically speaking, the entire spiritual world is manifested here in this room. Kurma, Matsya, Hayagriva, this thing today. And Jagannath Balaram Subhadra and Srila Prabhupada has actually been in this room, and how fortunate can you be, right? But what is the purpose of all this? Prabhupada went through so much trouble. Such a beautiful building, and you're all going through so much trouble. I see the standard here is very, very nice. You've kept Prabhupada's standard. It's nice. It's so difficult to maintain, isn't it? Everybody wants to change things or reduce and maintain. It's very enlightening. But what are we doing this for? Are you all working hard? Everybody's working hard, right? Is everybody working hard? What do you say? Is everybody here working hard? Why are we working so hard to maintain this place? For Krishnaya Tachitam. That's why. Everything is meant to have us focus our mind and our consciousness on Krishna. Prabhupada is saying we're seeing the deity. So the deities here are manifesting such beauty. You know, the deity manifests beauty according to the mood of the worshipper. You know that, right? So according to how much love the Lord is worshipped, to that degree he's manifesting his opulence. Just see, Radha Balaram here is so striking. How can one not think of them? Prabhupada says you're seeing the deity, so that should be the impression in your mind. That in this age, Chanchalini Manakrishna, Arjuna says, it's very difficult for most of us to enter into a yogic trance and meditate on the Lord in the heart. Maybe 10, 20 people on the planet can do that. But Prabhupada said, anyone, they may be going to school, they may be cleaning the pots, they may be changing the baby's nappies, they may be at their job, whatever they're doing, they can remember the form of the deity, to have the deity make an impression in your mind. So that throughout the day, you can, within your mind's eye, see the form of the Lord. Yoginam api sarvesham. This is the top yogi. This is the top yogi who's always meditating on Krishna within their mind. And why is this success? Why is this Shreya Arjunaha? Well, first of all, it's eternal. Everything you get in this world is temporary. But just like Krishna says, Ajayonicha Shashatoyam Prano Nahanyate Hanyamane Shreya, we are eternal. So certainly our source is also eternal. And our relationship with him is also eternal. Actually, it cannot be broken because Vahya Mukhe, we've turned our face to Krishna, we think it is broken. But it is not broken. So that is something eternal. People want to buy a house in Australia that's theirs forever. This is something that's really forever. This is something that's really forever. And our material success is earned with great pain, isn't it? Great suffering. But Kevala Nanda Ganga, this Krishnaya Tachitam, is achieved with just joyfulness. If we're not feeling joyfulness, that means we're committing some aparada. Aparada. Radha is Radha. Aparada against Radha. So if we're not experiencing Kevala Nanda Ganga, that means that we are doing something that is against Radha. Because she's the Ladini Shakti, she's the source of all bliss. So this is also the supreme success because it is eternal and because not only is it full of joy, but the process for achieving it is full of joy. Meditating on the deity, even as a neophyte, is full of joy. And then as you were saying, even this life in this world will become full of joy. And it is full of awareness, it is full of life. It's not something dead. The success in this world is all dead things. You know, just some bricks, some piece of paper. Even our relationship with other living beings. We're acting on the platform of matter. My body relating to someone else's body. We never touch the soul. Where is the real awareness? The Prabhupada says, your father has died and you're crying, but you never met your father. You don't even know who he is. We're dealing with other people. It's like we're interacting in some video game where you don't know the real identities of the people. You're interacting just with their persona. Or we're like actors on a stage. And all we know is the costume and the character of the other people on the stage. We don't really know the people. I heard Prabhupada say this in 74. He said, you want to see God, but you can't even see the little piece of God. So now, is this full success though? Krishna Ayatachitra? Always being awareness of Krishna, who is eternal, full of happiness, full of awareness, of knowledge, of existence? No. That's not the ultimate. Because Rupa Goswami gives us a definition of bhakti. What does he say? What is the definition of bhakti? Some of you, bhakti shastri, bhakti by Madhav folks here? Yes, well, he says that's the basis of all rules. Any other answers? Anyadhasitasunyam jnanakamarvanavritam anukulena krishnanushivanam bhaktiruttama anukulena krishnanushivanam. So anukulena means it's favorable to Krishna. This is this Krishnaya tachitam. I'm always favorable to Krishna. This is not Krishnaya tachitam like Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna. But he's always thinking of how to kill Krishna. Like the atheistic scientists today, they're always thinking like that too. How can I come up with some philosophy that will defeat God? Yeah, that's their meditation. And that's actually how they're meditating. How can we prove that the origin of the universe, as I heard one scientist say, is a cold, impersonal machine? That is their meditation. So we don't want Krishna to touch to come like that, like the demons. We want to be always thinking of Krishna favorably. Anukulina, always be thinking of Krishna favorably. But that's not enough. Krishna nu shilanam. One has to do something. One has to do something. That's why Prabhupada translates bhakti as. How does Prabhupada translate bhakti as? What does that mean? Happy or sleeping. What? Can we say it together? One, two, three. Oh, that's good. I'm sorry, I'm a teacher. I have to be able to assess my teaching, you know? So, I'm not sure whether or not I'm actually teaching properly unless I get some response. Devotional service. So far, Brothers talked about the devotion. Krishna attached to some. Always thinking about Krishna. But if I love somebody, I also do some service. I do something. Not that the wife says, yes, my dear Prabhu Pati Swami, not, I love you. You are always in my heart. Yeah, but I haven't had anything to eat for 3 days. But I love you. The house hasn't been clean for a month. But I love you. You know? Or if the man says, my dear Devi, my dear Priya, you are the most beautiful woman on earth. What would I do without you? But, dear, you haven't paid the utility bills for 6 months, and we don't have any water. But I love you, you know. So this doesn't mean anything. And this is, of course, we see this in all the religions of the world. Sometimes we ask people, you know, well, do you chant? Oh, no, I am always chanting in my mind. Or the Christians are like this. I remember taking a devotee for surgery on a Sunday morning to the hospital. We're waiting in the waiting room, and they're showing this television show. And on Sunday morning in America, all the televangelists, do you have televangelists here?
Yes.
So they're not limited to America. It's spread all over the Western world. So they're there. One of them is saying, send me $5, and I'll send you a prayer handkerchief, which you put under your pillow, and you'll get all of your desires fulfilled. Speaking to a stadium of 50,000 people. Anyway, but these other people, they're standing in a circle and holding hands, men and women, you know, and they're going, we love Jesus. So So this kind of thing goes on whether you're a Hindu or a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim. It's not limited to any one religious system. Oh yes, Krishna, I have to tell you, I love Krishna. What do you do for him? Do? I just love him. There was one time this publication where devotees could advertise for a spouse. And, you know, you post your personal things. You're supposed to say what service you like. And one devotee said, my favorite service is to sleep and dream of Krishna. So we demonstrate our love practically. So she also wants to do something practically. She wants to parasparsha. She wants to touch Krishna's feet. She wants to exhibit her devotion in some way. We find all these things, they're saying, I'm the maidservant. Krishna's accepting me as his wife, but I'm just the maidservant. I'm sweeping the palace, but Krishna kindly calls me his wife. Right? So we want to give Krishna food. Krishna's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything, but we want to express our love in some way. We want to make gardens for Krishna. We're managing a temple for Krishna. We're cleaning the floor for Krishna. We're managing the accounts for Krishna. We're giving some money to Krishna. We're working on the website for Krishna. We're doing something for Krishna. So both has to be there. If one's only doing something, then as Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, you should just think of me with love. If you can't do that, do Abhyasa Yoga, you practice yoga, to develop Ichha, to develop the desire. And if you can't even do that, then do some work for me. But do some work for me that's not yet Abhyasa Yoga. So if all we're doing is parasparsha, if all we're doing is some work, that's not yet about Abhyasa Yoga. That's not yet sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, you're doing some work and you're Krishna chya touch chitta. You're doing the work with devotion. You're doing the work thinking of Krishna. You're doing the work meditating on Krishna. With reverence, one should not think, again, just because we're using the word Krishna, that there's no reverence. Now, how do we attain this state? I think all of us, at least sometimes, maybe some people here are already constantly in this state of Krishna Shtitachitam and Padasparsha, where we're always engaged in devotion and service, that not for a moment does Krishna leave our chitta, our consciousness, and not for a moment do we stop sparsha, do we stop touching Krishna's pada. But for those of us who may be in the stage of Anistha Bhajana Kriya, who are unsteady, sometimes Krishna's in our mind, sometimes Krishna's not. Sometimes we're serving Krishna, sometimes we're serving our sharp senses. Like when devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, sometimes we fall into Maya. Prabhupada said, no, you're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. So how do we come to this state? We want to come to this state. Do you know what happens if we come to this state? Where we're always Krishnaya, Tachchitam, and where we're always Padasparsha, every moment without deviation. You know what happens? Krishna comes. That's what he does to these queens, right? He comes. And even if they're surrounded by the dogs. Are we surrounded by dogs in Kali Yuga? I think so. Right? All around us. Take intoxication, have illicit sex, gamble, eat meat, make money, be upset. Right? Everywhere we look, it's like that. Even our families may be pushing us like that. So if we're always, we get to the state where we're steadily always thinking of Krishna and steadily touching his lotus feet in service, then Krishna will come like a lion. Right? Like a lion. He will pick us up from inside the dog and put us on his chariot and take us away. Well, he'll do that. But we have to come to the point of steadiness. Prabhupada says in several places, one achieves Krishna's mercy. Of course, at all stages there's Krishna's mercy. Yes, I understand that. But we really achieve Krishna's mercy when we have full control over our mind and senses. Full control over our mind and senses means always, without deviation. We are always engaged in devotional service, which means devotion and service. Devotion and service. Not just the devotion, not just the service. Devotion and service all the time, which is called, of course, Nishtha. that we are steady, that the body, mind, and words are steady. We're fixed internally and externally. So Vajra is giving us, Sri Vajra is giving us some indication. How does one come to this point of fix? Which reminds us of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajana Rahasya. So those of you know the Bhajana Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is equating the stages of bhakti with the, anybody know? Two things. The different sections of the Hare Krishna mantra, and also with the Shikshastrika. So he equates Nishtha with, does anyone guess what verse of the Shikshastrika he equates with being fixed?
The last one?
No, last one. Okay. The third one, yes. Trinadapi. Tarori, like a tree. Trinadapi, like the grass. Where is there indication of that? Where she's saying, karmavi brahmyananaya. By my karma, I am wandering, she says. Is she about her wandering by her karma? No. But the acharyas say that because these are Naralila, these are human-like pastimes, she's expressing her humility like that. Karnavir Ramyamanaya. Wherever I am wandering to my karma, and what is she saying? How when does she want to do this? Krishna and Tachitam and Padasparsh? When does she want to do this? Anybody remember? Janmani. Prabhupada has a very similar prayer where he says, my Lord, wherever I may take birth, due to the faults of my conditioned life, I always want to serve you throughout the course of my birth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, also says this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says this. Mama Janmani, Janmani, Sri Bhagavad Bhakti, always to be twain. So, there's two aspects here to this humility that Sri Bhagavad has given us. One is, I'm very common. Currently, I'm wandering due to my karma. And one, Janmavi, I don't care about my personal benefit even to the point of liberation. I just want to serve. I just want to please you, Krishna. I'm very low and fond, but I want to please you. When we attain this humility, tolerant like a tree has two aspects of humility. If they're suffering, they don't ask anyone for relief. If they're suffering internally, they don't ask anyone for food, for water, for anything. Whatever Krishna supplies, he supplies. And if someone else hurts them, they don't protest. Now, there's a need for law and order, obviously. Someone steals something, you report to the police for the benefit of the thief, not for your own benefit. It's a very deep subject, which we don't have time to get into now. What is the essence of humility? But we could say that as soon as we enter into humility. Humility is the threshold between unsteady bhakti and steady bhakti. That is the door. That is the gateway. As Jesus said, the way is narrow, not many go through. So this is the narrow gateway between our suffering in this world, looking for material success, and our really attaining madhbhaktir lavadekaram. One actually starts bhakti before Nishtha, one is engaged in abhyasyoga, practice bhakti, which is necessary and essential. But to come to bhakti proper, one has to go through this door of Nishtha. And the door to Nishtha is humility. Only in humility can one control one's mind and senses, can one always, without deviation. We know how wonderful it is, right? You know those times when you really are absorbed in Krishna, and you really are absorbed in service, and you're not thinking of yourself, isn't that wonderful? And you're filled with joy and happiness and freedom and enthusiasm. And everybody asks the question, how can I keep that? Right? Everybody wants to know, how can I keep that bliss? How can I keep that enthusiasm? How can I keep that feeling of freedom and mind and determination? They're asking, how can I come to the stage of Nishtha? One must walk through the door of humility. One must walk through the door of humility. So humility is very scary for conditioned souls. I mean, externally you do humble things. Please accept my humble obeisances. Jai Dhoj Maharaj always just says, please accept my obeisances. So I usually follow in his footsteps. I figure, you know, I don't have any humble obeisances to offer, and I'm too embarrassed to say, please accept my arrogant obeisances. You know, so we have some terminology that we use in terms of external social etiquette. Oh, yes, I'm very fallen, and this and that. And that's okay. But that's not real humility, is it? It's just social niceties. So maybe someday, because we're running out of time now, but someday maybe we can talk about what is real humility. But just, let's at least want humility. I think if we want humility, we'll find out what it is. So, suppose that you had $5, and you bought something that you find out is worth only $3. How do you feel? Pretty lousy. Suppose you have $5 and you buy something that's worth $5. How do you feel? Okay. Suppose you have $5 and you get something that's worth $100. How do you feel? Pretty good, huh? Suppose you get something that's worth $100 and you didn't pay anything. You feel really good. Everybody likes a free gift, don't they? Right? The less you think you deserve something, the more joy it brings. If you think you deserve something, whenever we think we're getting less than we deserve, we're angry, we're disappointed, no matter how nice the thing is, doesn't matter how nice it is, if we think it's less than what we deserve, we don't enjoy it. We can't even appreciate it. If we think this is just what I deserve, it doesn't matter how nice it is. It could be a golden crusted palace, but if we think we deserve it, eh. But as soon as we think we don't deserve it at all, how much happiness it brings us. So total humility is not depressed self-abnegation. It's not like that. It's the key to joy and to receiving all the gifts of the Lord. So Sri Bhadra is giving us an indication how we can come to the point where Krishna will take us away. Well, Krishna will come. Are we all waiting for that? When is he going to come? Bhaktivinoda Thakur Sri. Tomara Virahe Dibhari. You're not coming. Kadai Habe Goloshre Dibhari. When will that day be mine? When you'll come? So if we want Krishna to come for us, we're also Krishna something. Not just Sri Bhadra's his wife, and we're nothing. We're Krishna's something. We're Krishna's cow, we're Krishna's friend, we're Krishna's mother, we're Krishna's soul. We're all Krishna's something. And he wants us. He wants us. So she's giving us this clue that in the mood of humility, I deserve nothing. In the mood of humility, I want nothing for myself, not even liberation. I want just life after life. I will always, Krishna, attached to him. I will always keep you, Lord, in my heart and Padasparsha. I will always render service. So, thank you very much. Questions, comments, additions, subtractions, chastisements? Yes.
Why is there so much emphasis on lotus feet of Krishna, particularly?
Oh, I was wondering if anybody was going to ask that. Thank you. Why Krishna's lotus feet? Well, first of all, they're really nice. They're very soft. You know, our feet, when we're walking around, even if we wear shoes, our feet become hardened on the bottom. There are some people in this world who make their money being foot models. You know, people take pictures of their feet for advertisements. And those people have to do as little walking as possible. Okay? To make sure their feet always look like... You see a little baby? On the plane, I saw a baby, couldn't have been more than 2 weeks old. And their feet are just like this, soft. So Krishna's feet are much softer even than a baby's. They're soft. Of course, that's why the gopis are worried about them. Even though it's Chintamani Dham, so the ground of Goloka Vrindavan and even Bhumi Vrindavan is very, very soft. But the feet are very soft and they've got beautiful decorations. I mean, our feet have just a few creases in them. but Krishna has all these wonderful decorations, like a half moon, and they're very, very beautiful. And then they're very pinkish. The color is very nice. This combination of Krishna's sun and this pinkish lotus feet, just like you see a sunrise or a sunset, where you see this combination of pinkish and dark blue, how beautiful it is. So that's just a little indication of the beauty of Krishna's feet. And it's described, pretty sure it's by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that Krishna's toenails are emitting so much light that if he puts his feet on a jeweled footstool, and just like here in Australia, you have opals. How beautiful opals are, so many different colors, and they look like they're on fire. So that's just material. Just imagine the jewels on Krishna's footstool, all the different colors, and they're alive. They're living jewels, and they're soft, and they're also fragrant. And when Krishna puts his feet on the footstool, his toenails give off such light that you don't see any of the jewels. It just becomes light. And his feet are also very fragrant. And there's a nice verse in the Bhagavatam about Nishwas Rukmini, where she's always smelling the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. Actually, one place she always wants to taste Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna likes to taste his feet too. You know that. Story with the baby. Little ordinary baby suck on their toes too. But Krishna's sucking his toe. And so Krishna's feet are very, very wonderful. And just by meditating on Krishna's feet, also, Angani Yasa Sakalandriya Ritimanti, Patyanti Manti Kalayanti Janatinanti, and then the Chinmaya Sarutra Vigrahasya Govinda Mani Purusham Kamaramaja. And Om Purnama Da Purnama Nam Purna Purna Muda Chate Purna Sya Purnama Daya Purna Eva. You take away the complete from the complete, still it remains complete. And each of Krishna's limbs is himself whole. So, with me, my finger, while it's attached to my body, I can say this is my body. But just my finger is not really my body, it's just my finger. But Krishna, his finger is Krishna. There's no difference. Whole and part, there's not a distinction like that. Krishna's whole body, part body. So Krishna's feet are also all Krishna. It's all Krishna. So, also, feet particularly, because it's a measure of humility and reverence. They say the entrance into pure bhakti is humility. That's the beginning step. As Gurujan Prabhu told me, he said that attainment of prema is two things happening at once. A very, very, very intense desire to attain it, and a very, very deep recognition of one's inability to do so, of one's fallen nature. So seeing oneself as totally fallen, which is miserable, right? That's miserable, seeing oneself as totally fallen? Oh my God, am I a bad teacher?
Yeah.
If you see yourself as totally fallen, what is that? Oh, it's not miserable. It's like getting a $100 thing when you had no money. Is that miserable? I didn't do a very good job of convincing you. The less you think you deserve something, the more what you feel when you get it. Happy, not miserable. Humility's not miserable. If we think it's miserable, we're not going to walk through the door. And we'll be an unnecessary bhakti for lifetimes. It's not miserable. It's joyful. It's the only place there is any joy. You can't feel any joy in pride. As soon as you're prideful, whatever you get, you're not satisfied with it. But you think, well, so I deserve it anyway, or I deserve more than that. And you don't, can't enjoy it. No pleasure in it. So prema means total humility, which is total what? Misery or joy? You convinced? You're not quite sure. Total humility with total eagerness. So this humility is also shown with this desire for feet. Generally, even people we love, we're not so into touching their feet. Unless you have some weird thing, something. But most people, they're not so into feet. Feet are, right. Is that all right? Anything else? Yes. The chastity of Krishna Shams? Specifically, in what sense?
What way?
Because they're Krishna Shitashitam. They only think of Krishna. They only see Krishna. Completely dedicated to only Krishna. Their consciousness doesn't deviate from a moment from Krishna. Is that right? Anything else? Yes. You know, there was a time that I was meditating on that regularly, but I don't remember it all offhand. There's the, it's like these pots, there's a half moon, there's a barley corn, there's an upward curving line, there's an elephant goat, and I have to go back and look.
Lotus.
Chakra. There we go. See, I told you it was a lotus. What else? Well, on Krishna's fingers, on one hand it's all conscious, on this one it's all this. I think I have a file somewhere I could send you. Did you have a question? It's not actually considering ourselves. It's not that I'm very great, but I just consider myself. But anyway, go ahead.
How do we draw lines such that it doesn't tend towards inferiority complex? Because that is also a type of ego.
How does it not become an inferiority complex? It has to be real. So the inferiority complex is another sign of pride. The reason a person gets depressed when they think of themselves as low is because they want to think of themselves as great. And it's depressing to see how great they're not, because that's their desire to be great. So it's that sort of response is very much in the mode of ignorance. So how does one come to real humility? That we have to discuss that another time. But part of what I gave a little hint of here is gratitude. Seeing that all the gifts of the Lord, Siddhama Brahma talks about this, that seeing that all the gifts of the Lord are more than my desire, are greater than what I deserve. So we see ourselves as wonderful. We are wonderful. We're a soul. We're eternal, we're beautiful, we're powerful. By the grace of Krishna. By the grace of Krishna. Oh, we're wonderful. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you've delivered the whole world. That's not a big deal, but you delivered me. That's amazing. He said, you have turned a crow into Garuda. So he's saying, I'm Garuda. Not literally, obviously. By your mercy. You're wonderful. We're far beyond the highest beings in the material world who have all mystic powers and so many things. We're little gods. Each of us has great power, great beauty. We're eternal. We belong to a world where all of our desires can be fulfilled. Even the great jnanis in the universe are Adhurama Aptikama. What do we speak of liberated souls who can fulfill all of their desires? Of the kamas, you can fulfill all of your desires. We're greater than some yogi who has property. This is who we are. We're wonderful beings. By the grace of Krishna and Guru. By Krishna. How do we know by Krishna's grace? Because are we exhibiting this now? Are we exhibiting this now? Our nature? Our real nature? No. We can hardly do anything. We get a little vibrant because we can't even get out of bed. So on my own, what am I? Nothing. Nothing. Everything is by grace. But we are all wonderful. By Krishna's grace. Is that all right? Does that help? Is it, am I, should I stop now? What's the
time?
I don't want someone to pull me off with a...
Yes?
I wanted to know why Krishna makes so many energy to forget.
Why does he make us forget?
Yes.
Because we want to.
So he takes away our forgetfulness and put it outside.
Mm-hmm. As soon as we want to remember, we'll remember. You can say, I want to remember. Are you willing to walk through the door if you know me? How much do you want to remember? Everything has a price.
So are you saying that parents want to forget their children?
Hmm?
Are you saying that parents want to forget their children?
Krishna doesn't forget us.
You were talking about the living attitude forgetting their children, forgetting everything.
Do they want to do that? Well, they want to get another body, and therefore forgetfulness is necessary. So just like, can anyone here fulfill all their material desires in the body they now have? Any of us? Do we all have some desire, material desires that this body is incapable of doing?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'd really like to fly to India without an airplane. That would be, I mean, I would. I would have liked to have flown here without an airplane. I would have liked to just, you know, I don't really like going on airplanes, frankly. Just going through security and worrying whether I'm going to lose my luggage, I don't like that. So if I want to be able to fly from Brisbane to Melbourne, then I have to get a bird body or a demigod body, depending on how high it's from. Depending on how much money I have in my pocket, how many karma coins I have. If I want to fly, I'll get into a bird body or a demigod. Now, if I get another body, there has to be forgetfulness. If you could remember, you know, all of your previous relationships with people, you couldn't then fulfill a different kind of desire. If you remember, that person was my husband in my last life, and that person was also my husband, how you couldn't function in this life. It's like if you're going to be on a stage, you're going to be in a dramatic performance, you have to really get into that role. I once heard the husband of a very famous actress, she said, yes, I've been married to thousands of women. Because every time his wife would play a different role, she'd be like a different person. She'd get into that role. I used to play Sharpanika in the Ramayana, typecasting. You know, you have to try to get into the role. I was never able to get into the role. Lokamon always used to yell at me, be more of a demon! Yes, sir. I said, but I'm trying in the Hare Krishna movement to stop being a demon. I never played the part very well. I used to be off stage thinking, I'd say all the verses from the 15th chapter, I'd be saying, so much love do I have to get, and I will gain more according to my schemes. You know, I was meditating all the demon verses. But the point is, you've got to get into the role. So if one time you're playing Sita, one time you're playing Sharpanika, you have to forget. You can't be playing Sita and then remember your lines from Sharpanika. That would really be a problem. So therefore we have to forget. Because we want so many things. Right? And the things we want are contradictory, so they can't all be accomplished in one type of body. So, yeah, we want. That's our desire, it's not Krishna's. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I just struggle with feeling bad, like the truth that
we forget is bad. Krishna does Kaviraj says everything we're told is bad.
Pardon?
Krishna does Kaviraj says it's all bad.
What is all bad?
All aspect of anything besides Krishna consciousness. Whether you remember, whether you forget, it's all bad.
So it's good that we forget our children. Krishna, is that what you're saying?
No. Okay, you're going to forget your children anyway in the next life, aren't you? Do you remember your children from your past life? It's going to happen anyway. Is that good or bad? Anything that's not consciousness of Krishna is bad. Whether you remember all your children from your last 100 lives or you don't remember all your children from your last 100 lives. Does it matter? Are you going to attain eternal, unlimited happiness whether you remember your children from 1,000 lifetimes ago or you forget your children from 1,000 lifetimes ago? Yeah, in this life you have some duty. For those of us who have children, we have some duty to think about our children. That's our duty to Krishna. That's a different thing. But materially, without Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter. Whether you remember them or you don't remember them. Suppose we could remember, maybe another life I was your mother or you were my mother. So what? Does it help us now? Maybe not. If it helps us, Krishna will let us know. If it doesn't, he won't let us know. But you know, even though also in this life we're on stage, we're on stage for Krishna, we're on stage for Lord Chaitanya. And he's given us a role. He said, okay, in this particular act of the drama, you're so-and-so's wife, you're so-and-so's husband, you're so-and-so's mother. You have this and this relationship. We do that for Krishna. We want to play the role expertly for Krishna. Thinking about Krishna. Krishna's watching the drama. We want to play our role expertly. We want to be the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect mother, the perfect child, the perfect friend, the perfect whatever. For Krishna. That is very nice. Does that help? It still doesn't help. Maybe I'm not really sure what your question is.
My question is, why does he make us, you know, forget? Like, I could be Krishna conscious all my life and then suddenly I just forget everything. I forget my friends, my family. I forget Krishna, you know, my curiosity.
Are you afraid of that will be old and senile?
Maybe it's one of my fears,
yeah. I think all of us have that too. Is everybody afraid of that? That's such a pretty heavy thing for you. I'm afraid of it. I don't want to have Alzheimer's disease. That's scary, isn't it? So what is Sri Bhadra saying? She's saying, whatever condition I'm in, I always want to remember you and serve your feet. So that should be our prayer. That whatever we do, and actually we'll attain prema when we're saying to Krishna, Krishna, when we can say this sincerely, please don't say this insincerely. Most of us have tried this at one point or several points. Don't say this insincerely because you'll regret it. But when we can say sincerely, Krishna, I really want to love you and serve you in pure devotion, whatever it costs. Again, please don't say that if you don't mean it, because Krishna will show you that you don't mean it, and the results will not be fun. And as I said, I'm pretty sure most of us have tried that. Probably more than once. But we need to get to the point that we can say that sincerely. That Krishna, I want you. I want to love you in pure devotion. And if being a quadriplegic will accomplish that, that's okay. If getting Alzheimer's will accomplish that, that's okay. If living in the street, eating out of a garbage can will accomplish that, that's okay. If I have Alzheimer's and I'm a quadriplegic and I'm out in the street eating out of a garbage can, but I'm totally absorbed in love for Krishna, I'm seeing the pastimes of Krishna take place in my heart, and I'm overwhelmed with loving ecstasy, would it matter? No. So when we're convinced of that, then we attain prema. But before that, it's like, okay, Krishna, yes, I want to love you, but as long as under this condition, this condition, this condition, this condition. I have all these things, all these fears. Gradually, we surrender, we find out that Krishna's probably not. He's not going to put us out in the middle of the street, eating out of a garbage can, being an Alzheimer's victim who's quadriplegic. He's probably not going to do that for us. That's probably not necessary for us to become pure devotees. And we also see that when horrible things do happen, that if I depend on Krishna, then it's okay. And we get some faith. And we see that even when horrible material things have happened to me, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I bet you that horrible material things have happened to a lot of people. We all think it's just me who suffers. And if you see Krishna in it, just like Maharaj Pariksit, he saw that Krishna had taken the form of the curse. If you see Krishna in him, then you find it's a source of ecstasy. So we practice. That's why it's called the Abhyasa Yoga. It's practice. we're practicing, and gradually, just Chan Prabhupada was saying, in the beginning there's some faith, as that faith deepens, prema is solid faith. So how do we get that faith? You do a little something. You surrender a little bit. You give a little. And you see, it's okay. It's actually okay. It wasn't horrible. Krishna didn't hurt me. Everything Krishna's doing, he feels out of love for me. And you gain a little faith, and you surrender a little more. And you gain a little more faith, and you surrender a little more. So you get to the point where you're really willing to say, Krishna, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
What are we saying before that? We're saying, I trust myself more than you. As if we have the power to do anything he doesn't allow anyway. As if our holding back and our not surrendering and our being afraid is going to protect us anyway. As if we're not going to lose everything in the world anyway. Like Bali Maharaj says to Ramande, why not give you everything? I'm destined to lose to death. We're going to lose it all anyway. We're going to lose this body. We're going to lose our family connections. We're going to lose our education. So your medical doctor, or PhD, or Nobel Prize winner, next life you're going to be going goo goo gaga. We're going to lose this anyway. We're afraid of losing our memory. We're going to lose it anyway. Why not give it to Krishna? And say, Krishna, whatever you want to do with it, you can do with it. I want to love you. I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want you to be in my heart. You and Radharani and Madhu Yashoda, Gaurini Thai, and all the cowherd boys and your cows. I want them all manifested in my heart, Krishna. And I'm going to be doing some service for you. I'm going to be making some ghee for you, or some garlands, or making your ankle bells, or getting you your flute, or washing your feet. I want that. And all this other stuff I'm attached to, here, you take it. Whatever you want to do with it, you do with it. That's your business. You want to give me intelligence? Fine. You want to give me forgetfulness? Fine. You want to give me a healthy body? Fine. You want to give me an unhealthy body? Fine. You want to give me tons of wonderful children, or no children, or a good husband, or no husband, or a terrible husband, or lots of money, or no money, or wherever you want to put me? That's not your business. You take care of that. And I just want you. So when we get to that point, then we really want Krishna. Until we're at that point? One-pointed. So don't imitate that, please. Please, I'm begging you, don't imitate that. That's a very bad idea. But we should have that as the goal. That that is our goal. And gradually become convinced that it's a nice goal. Because if we're not already there, and you know you're already there, but if we're not already there, it's because we're not quite convinced that that's okay. It sounds very scary. Masajara, don't be afraid. We're afraid. Because we're afraid, therefore it's a very gradual process, and we go step by step, and sometimes it's Bhagavanam Janmanam Mante, generally it's Bhagavanam Janmanam Mante. Probably for most of us, this is not our Ashishin Prabhupada say that. Those who are taking the Krishna consciousness seriously, you can know for certain that it's not their first time. So we've probably been working on overcoming this fear before we'll actually surrender. So it's 2 minutes to nine. 2 minutes.
I just have a, if we do try and surrender quickly and say, Krishna, take everything, and we get smashed about, then that's not such a bad thing.
If you're convinced of that, make sure you're convinced. Don't say it unless you're convinced. I'm just begging you, you can do what you want. But haven't been there, seen that, done that. And known a lot of other people, almost everybody I know in the Hare Krishna movement has been there, seen that, done that. So it's a hard way to find out if our sincerity. Okay? It's a hard way. But if you're actually at that point, if you can look at all the possibilities, if you can really look at all the possibilities and feel what it would feel like to have all those, you know, the worst case scenario happen, which as I say, is actually going to happen anyway. But if you can look at that without fear, you can look at that without fear, but you've got to be honest with yourself. Okay. And there are ways of speeding up the process. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. But right now our time is up. We did talk about it a little bit, right? Talk about what the doorway is.
Mm-hmm.
So part of knowing how to speed up the process is being anxious to go through that doorway, being convinced that going through that doorway is fun. Okay? First of all, we've got to be theoretically convinced that humility is fun. At least theoretically convinced. That's a big step to accelerating our progress. So thank you very much. Please excuse me if I said anything wrong or foolish or disturbing, and if I said anything useful, I hope you can take it on board. Again, thank you for inviting me here. It's so wonderful to see such a well-attended morning program. This is very, very rare. So Mangalarti is full of devotees, class full of devotees on a weekday. So thank you very much. I feel very enlightened being here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Melbourne Vaishnavas, please.